For his part, Chairman Ajit Pai has no doubt that ending net neutrality is what's best for the American people.
If we go back to the market-based regulation, companies will have more incentive to invest, and entrepreneurs will have a better chance to reach more Americans, and consumers will be much better off. They'll have better, faster, and cheaper internet access.
Still, the law says that the American people must have the chance to weigh in through a process called public comment. In 2014, nearly 4 million comments poured into the FCC, overwhelmingly in support of an internet that offers equal access to all. And this public outcry reportedly helped convince the agency to set the rules that Pai now wants to overturn. So, has public sentiment really shifted so much in the last 3 years? Unlikely, but according to Issy Lepowski, senior writer for Wired, we can't really know for sure. Because this year, the public comment process was broken by a swarm of bots.
The first issue I think that most researchers noted was that there were 22 million comments coming into the FCC, millions more than have been received in the entire history of all government agency comment periods over time. As you said, the last comment period received about 4 million. That even is an anomaly. So they started looking into the content of these comments, and a lot of them were duplicates, which is not necessarily a problem. You can imagine any advocacy group wants to supply the words for their community so that people can, with one click, let their voice be heard. So the duplicative comments are not necessarily the issue, but combined with some of the automated techniques that these researchers discovered, it creates this cacophony where you don't know what duplicates are real human beings just clicking a button, or what comments are automated and generated by bots.
And these data scientists found that only 6% of the 22 million comments were unique, right?
Exactly. It's become this meme on the internet to promote the Bee Movie, which is an animated film. Some of the comments included excerpts from the script, references to the film, synopses.
So a kind of denial of service attack on the public comment space.
Exactly. That's an excellent way to put it. Researchers have found about 1 million associated with a very specific pattern. It's called natural language generation. So if you can imagine, if you ever played the game Mad Libs, you have a series of buckets, and those buckets are filled with words and phrases that are all synonymous or related. So you choose one word or phrase from each of those buckets, string them together, and you create a new comment. They found about 1 million of them that followed this pattern. There were 22 million comments submitted. So obviously, that's more automated content than you would want to see, and it is problematic. But the vast majority still seem to have been form letters the advocacy group sent in.
Okay, so I'd like to the extent that we can, figure out who did what. We know that the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a group that strongly advocates for the preservation of net neutrality, had a form letter, and lots of people used it to weigh in favor of net neutrality. And we know that one comment that appeared 2.8 million times, so another form comment, came from a site that was supported by HBO's John Oliver. These letters, I assume, did represent real people.
In the case of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, their letter got picked up by researchers because the EFF was actually prompting its community to write in, but it would give every person a slightly different message. Mm-hmm. So that caught researchers' eye because they were saying, look, this technology isn't just being used by the bad guys who are trying to scheme the system. It's also being used by well-meaning advocacy groups that just want to give everybody a little bit of a unique voice.
I guess my feeling is that if it's real people, what's the difference between a form letter and natural language generation? The problem is if it isn't a real person. Researchers found that many of the comments sent to the FCC from anti-net neutrality groups came with names and addresses from real people, but without their knowledge. They were basically stolen. Is that true?
Yes. Researchers found that those 1 million comments that they identified that fit this very specific pattern were associated with real names, real email addresses, and that led them to believe that these were taken from some sort of hack of personally identifiable information. Think about all of the hacks that we've had recently, from Equifax to name the retailer. And you find even celebrities. John Oliver's name was used thousands of times. Lots of comments were submitted not even using names. There were thousands submitted under the name The Internet. There were some names that were just strings of numbers.
So the alarm has been sounded. It's fairly clear that the comment process has run off the rails. How has the FCC responded?
They really haven't so far. I mean, I think it's important to say that you can't really vet 22 million comments as a human being. You're going to need the assistance of technology to siphon some of those out. Now, as I said, this situation is helped by the fact that only 6% of those comments are unique.
Still, that's over a million people.
Exactly. And often what you have is the FCC, and this goes back generations, they will pay most attention to the comments that come in from recognized groups. So in this case, it might be Verizon or AT&T. They'll pay attention to comments that come in from an established academic at Stanford or from a general counsel at a business who's making a legal argument. So in a lot of cases, and the public doesn't like to hear this, these individual voices who have something to say get drowned out.
They don't get drowned out. They get ignored, brushed aside.
Exactly. The last net neutrality period, there was this groundswell of activism from pro-net neutrality people. And when there is a groundswell, that's when the FCC starts to pay attention. But it's unclear whether Chairman Pai really has the motivation to weigh the groundswell that was coming in from the pro-net neutrality group against the groundswell of comments coming in from anti-net neutrality groups and to decide which comments among them were real and which were not.
So, if there are enough fakes and bots to muddy the waters and to enable the FCC to simply walk away from the process as hopelessly polluted, even a groundswell can be ignored. Does that worry you?
Absolutely, it worries me, because when you do have 2.8 million comments coming in from pro-net neutrality groups, but you also have millions of comments coming in from anti-net neutrality groups, some of which have been identified as being fake, it creates the perfect storm for this FCC, if they want to say, we don't know which among those pro-net neutrality comments were fake and which were real. And I think we're seeing this really throughout open platforms on the internet. People you're following on Twitter, now it's very unclear whether they're real people. You know, we found that a number of them were exposed as Russian bots and people were really believing them during the election. And so I think that this whole new world that we've entered into of what's real and what's fake on the internet has now infiltrated our government rulemaking process. And that's really scary.
Issy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Issy Lepowski is a senior writer for Wired. You can read her article, How Bots Broke the FCC's Public Comment System, on Wired.com.
Coming up, a history of hoaxes traces a direct line from Phineas T. Barnum to Donald J. Trump.
This is On the Media.